From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, you'll hear how the Dallas School District is keeping high school athletes out of the emergency room, and how North Texas became a surprising hub for video game innovation. But first, though, two North Texas high school graduates were among members of the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity at the University of Oklahoma, taking part in a racist chant caught on video. Parker Rice graduated from Jesuit College Preparatory School in Dallas. Levi Pettit's a high school or Highland Park High School graduate. They joined other fraternity members in a chant with racial slurs and references to lynching. The 10-second video surfaced online earlier this week and sparked campus protests. Separate statements last night from Rice and from Pettit's parents apologized and called the incident, quote, a horrible mistake. The statements came after University President David Boren expelled two students who led the chants. Those names have not been released. Sigma Alpha Epsilon's national headquarters condemned the video and shut down the Oklahoma chapter. The university also ordered members to move out of the house. The Dallas School District was recently commended by the Youth Sports Safety Alliance for putting athletic trainers at all 23 of its high schools in the last 2 years. Diana Douglas talked with one athletic trainer as she fielded injuries large and small.
Teresa Kikagawa works out of a small trailer behind the gym at Bryan Adams High School. It has stretching bands, exercise balls, examination tables, and a constant stream of students. Senior Oscar Castro, a track runner, works his calves on a foam roller on the floor, trying to stay ahead of shin splints.
Let me know when you're done and I'll wrap the ice on you.
While he grimaces, a soccer coach brings her another case. One of his players is having headaches and nausea. The coach gives her a printout of the CT scan that the kid had last night after getting hit in a game.
I'll get him the paperwork to go see our concussion doctor and all that.
Okay. Yeah.
Kikagawa sees about 30 students a day, trying to keep them healthy and on the field.
I see a lot of ankle sprains. I see a lot of knee injuries. We see a lot of concussions that we manage. Just anything from scrapes, bruises, to the more serious injuries that need surgery.
She's at Bryan Adams all day and stays for after-school games and practices. Dallas ISD hired her a year and a half ago, at a time when there were only 10 trainers for the entire city, far behind suburban schools in North Texas.
Kids were getting injured, and it was frankly embarrassing that you'd have someone from another school district, and they're like, where's your trainer? And we said, well, we don't have one.
Louisa Meyer was the leader of a grassroots effort by parents and community members that pushed the district to put trainers in every high school.
I believe that extracurricular activities are the greatest dropout prevention program. Athletes have higher academic achievement, higher attendance rates, and fewer discipline referrals.
She was president of the DISD Citizen Budget Review Commission and helped the district find $3 million in its budget to fund the program. Kikagawa says that when the students realized they had their own trainer,
the loads came through my door because they hadn't had this. It's not necessarily a luxury, but it's a good resource. And so I've seen a huge increase in the kids just coming in wanting to know about simple things like nutrition or how to stretch properly.
A surprising benefit to the families at Bryan Adams has been fewer unnecessary doctor visits.
A lot of kids, you know, if they sustain a pretty bad sprained ankle, sometimes parents don't know if that's an emergency or not. They take them to a hospital, and then, you know, you get this huge bill, but these are things that I can do in-house here for absolutely free.
Three quarters of the students at Bryan Adams are considered poor. Not having trainers makes playing sports more dangerous for kids without good health insurance or whose families can't afford doctor visits. They just had to hope they didn't get hurt. Across North Texas, there are heroic stories from high school athletic trainers. Last month, a trainer at Richardson High used a defibrillator on a football player who collapsed during practice. The school and the boy's mother credit the trainer with saving his life.
Hello.
Most of the cases Kikagawa sees are far less dramatic.
Oh, my content came out.
Oh, it's in your mouth right now, isn't it?
Kikagawa gives Jamisha Lawson, a senior on the girls' basketball team, some contact solutions. And then roots around her eye to help her find it.
We've been through everything together. I was in here for a good 2 weeks.
Jamisha had a concussion playing basketball earlier this season. She credits Kikagawa's care for finally getting her back in the game. For KERA News, I'm Diana Douglas.
If you think all the latest video games and consoles come from Silicon Valley, you'd be wrong. Texas is the second largest state behind California for game development. Brenna Salinas of Texas Standard reports Dallas is one of the state's gaming leaders, in part because of a program at UT Dallas.
The Texas video game industry directly employs about 5,000 people and creates hundreds more jobs that depend on transporting and selling the technology. Dallas, San Antonio, and Austin are hubs of innovation. Big games like Call of Duty and World of Warcraft came from Texas game studios Asphyr and Blizzard. But gaming isn't just about, well, gaming anymore. Jennifer Bullard directs the two-year-old Captivate Conference for professionals in the gaming industry.
The game industry is pretty wide and diversified. There's console developers, there's mobile developers, there's education game development here. There's people who work on what we call real-world games, you know, training simulations.
Bullard has been designing games like Heroes of Might and Magic and Spider-Man for 17 years. She says the country's second biggest gaming industry is always hunting new recruits.
There's more education institutions for game development. When I first got started, people didn't even really have bachelor's degrees or care about it. And now, of course, if you want to get into the game industry, you need a bachelor's degree.
Texas universities are stepping up to keep the industry supplied. Campuses from Abilene to Victoria have established gaming departments. At UT Dallas, there's the Center for Modeling and Simulation. Marge Zelke is the director.
It started about 8 years ago and emphasizes 21st century media as an extension of its current degree plan.
The curriculum is based on critical thinking, research projects, and learning how to appeal to a wide audience.
One of the things that we try to teach students in all of our classes is that it's one thing to be able to use the technology that we have available to us today, but students of media really need to be able to think about how to conceptualize and develop media that doesn't exist yet.
Some of that conceptualizing is likely to take place at South by Southwest. Developers, manufacturers, and fans from all over the country will show off their stuff at the Gaming Expo this week. No matter what happens, you can be sure the next big thing in gaming will be revealed in Texas. I'm Brenda Salinas for the Texas Standard.
The new statewide radio news magazine Texas Standard airs at 10 weekday mornings on 90.1. Getting cancer as a kid is very different from getting cancer as an adult, both physically and psychologically. Young children may mirror their parents' reaction to a scary diagnosis, while teenagers might turn to social media for tips to handle cancer. Sharon Pepito is a psycho-oncologist at Baylor Sammons Cancer Center. She helps kids who physically recovered from cancer work on emotional healing.
I see patients that struggled with cancer at 5 years old that will come to me in their 20s, having not worked through these fears of contamination, and now it has become debilitating. Mm. And now they struggle with obsessive compulsive disorder, or they struggle with issues that were left unattended.
Dr. Pepito will talk with Lauren Silverman as part of KERA's Breakthroughs Project today at 1 on Think. We'll also dig deeper into the topic in the KERA series Growing Up After Cancer. It debuts a week from today. We've got a dense fog advisory until 11 this morning. Mostly sunny after that, with a high of 68. It's 51 degrees now in Dallas, 46 in Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.